California condors are gorgeous birds, 10-foot wingspans, black feathers. In 1983, there were just 22 left after being hunted, poisoned. Then biologists bred them in captivity, keeping track of who fathered whom in their stud book. But recently, they discovered two born without any genetic input from dad. Wow, an immaculate conception. Oliver Ryder is Director of Conservation Genetics at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. Oliver, first tell us more about these birds.
They're truly magnificent. And if you find a birder's guide that says, like, what bird you can confuse this bird with, you know, to help you sort out possibilities, They say that condors are mostly confused with airplanes. They fly at very high altitudes, have acute vision, can fly hundreds of miles without flapping their wings. They're quintessentially adapted to be creatures of the wind.
Wow, wow, what a treat. How did scientists discover this? What did you see in the testing of the DNA of the condors that made you think, wait a second, what have we got here?
In normal reproduction in vertebrate animals, an offspring gets one copy of chromosomes from mother and one copy of chromosomes from father. In these two chicks, the male that was in with the female who laid the egg from which they hatched could not have been the father. And yet that same male and female had reproduced previously and produced a number of chicks. So what's up with that? Well, If you look more closely, you see those chicks are genetically uniform. From their mother's chromosomes, they picked one copy and it was duplicated. So they have no paternal contribution, and they're remarkably genetically uniform across their chromosomes. And in birds, that's a signal. And if they are males, that really points to the direction that they are produced by parthenogenetic development, that they had no male contribution.
Parthenogenesis. This is an egg developing into an embryo without being fertilized by a sperm. It can happen in other species. But that's the thinking here, that that's what happened.
Well, and actually, this is the first case of it being proven with genetic data in a bird species. And the data are very robust. The conclusion is inescapable that these birds don't have a male contribution. And that's basically the definition of parthenogenesis.
What was your first feeling when this was becoming obvious?
Well, it was a kind of an aha moment, you know. One thinks of Archimedes, Eureka. It was like, I still get goosebumps when I think about it, because it was just, it so much did not match expectations. We so much did not expect this. And yet it was such a startling understanding, insight, appreciation that this possibility of parthenogenesis perfectly explained the data that we had.
Well, what do we know about the two condors who hatched and had somewhat short lives, I understand? I mean, were they impacted in any way negatively? Because obviously, this is something that, as you're trying to save this species, this is something that could, you know, maybe be used.
Well, exactly, Robin. We know that they died before reproducing. With only two cases, it's very hard to draw generalizations. But what we do know is that if they had lethal genes, they wouldn't have appeared. So in some way, they must represent birds that don't have representation of the most kind of deleterious mutations that could be present in condor populations. Remember that this is the first case of facultative parthenogenesis that's been developed. And previously, all cases of parthenogenesis in birds were discovered because females were housed separately from males.
Well, and I'm thinking, too, this bird you and others are trying to save from extinction, but you never would have made this discovery if they'd gone extinct.
That's, of course, very true. I mean, to me, as a geneticist, it's really this exquisite set of information that we have about a species, because we have samples from all the condors, you know, since the founding population that was brought out of the wild, and that are the ancestors of all condors present today and will be the ancestors of all condors into the future. And this is a really unprecedented set of genetic information and genealogical profiles that will be useful for managing the sustainability of California condor populations and ensuring the preservation of their gene pool.
Oliver, what do they feel like or sound like when they fly, you know, anywhere near you?
Ah, that's a nice question. They make a whooshing noise, you know. So one of the biggest memories is when I was present at a condor release. There were many condors around, and they would fly overhead, you know, maybe 20 feet over your head or something like that. And of course, a big bird like that attracts your attention. It's a whoosh.
Lovely. Oliver Reiter, Director of Conservation Genetics at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you, Robin.